and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, thanking our friends at Conquest Scents for being a part of the show, helping bring it to you each and every week. Also, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, welcoming them. And I was at their event here a couple of weeks ago, their big banquet and show that they put on at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Absolutely such a cool time. And it really, really, really changed my perspective on the deer farming industry, on some of the hunts that they put on. They had some huge, huge auctions go off and some great raffles. And next year, we want to get you out there. We want you to see firsthand what the United Deer Farmers of Michigan have put together and how they are doing things. And you know what? It might open your eyes to a few things as well. I'm very, very happy to have them as a part of the show. Also, you can find them at thetruthaboutcwd.com. They are doing lots and lots of research, focusing lots of dollars onto CWD research right here in Michigan and in other parts of the country. Also, want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns in Mason Cedar Street at 127. Not Just Guns right now. They are closed temporarily. They are still doing the online auction, are taking appointments for the online auctions only. As they say, they want to be a part of the solution and not the problem with this COVID-19, the coronavirus issue we are going on and about with our daily lives right now. A lot of us from home, if possible. Sometimes in radio, we can do it at home, and sometimes we can't. But this is pretty much a ghost town in this studio, in this building right now. Myself and Alex Clark seem to be the only people in the Wild Michigan studios here. So, you know, we're happy to be able to do the show that way for you. And maybe, you know, before long, we'll be doing it from home. So I'm going to move forward. Our good friend Captain Lance Valentine, teachinfishing.com is his website. And, of course, Lance, I got this information from you, from the Charter Boat Captains of Michigan. Charter boats, let's talk about this, because we are in the world of COVID-19, literally globally, affecting everybody, you know, on this planet. Now, mind you, there's a lot of anglers, from what I understand, there's a lot of anglers, independent anglers, not practicing safe distancing on the Detroit River, which we know about anyway. But again, you as a charter boat captain, you have rules to follow and abide by. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm hanging in.
I know your mind.
You know, I'm not going to make any comments about the people that are out fishing, because that's kind of above my pay grade. I have serious thoughts about them, but that's not, you know, that's above my pay grade. So I will tell you this. Yes, as far as the executive order that kind of, you know, shut the state down. It was made clear to us on, I think, Tuesday afternoon that did not include essential businesses, did not include charter services, and anybody caught running a charter during this time would be fined. Actually, I heard from a pretty reliable source that someone actually got a ticket yesterday on the Detroit River, got caught actually running a charter. He had people from out of state in his boat. Was a registered charter captain. Had people from out of state in his boat and actually did get a ticket. We made the decision. I made the decision, I think, Sunday night, Monday morning. Actually, I made it Sunday night, posted it Sunday morning. I've been fortunate. Two people I go to high school with, one's an emergency room doctor and one is actually an infectious diseases researcher. The smart people in the class. I was a jock. And then I've got another friend who is a general practitioner, and I've been talking to them, and they've been kind of feeding me data and, you know, being able to look a little deeper and actually understand what the numbers mean and kind of how this thing spreads. And you know, I made a simple post the other day. I made a decision on Sunday night that we're canceled through April 20, regardless of what happens with the state order. You can't convince me that everything is bad until April 12th and good on April 13th. So we're basically in a holding pattern until April 20th. The information I got, I mean, I'm just going to pass this on, just so people know. This is what changed my mind. Imagine a guy gets in your boat and he picks up a fishing rod and he fishes with it all day. And this virus, we don't know exactly, but on porous materials, cork rod handles, foam rod handles, they're thinking the virus sticks around for 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7 days. It's a lot more susceptible to stay there than it is to be airborne. So a guy gets on your boat, you guys are fishing, he picks up a rod, or maybe you hand him your rod to net a fish, whatever the case may be. You never get sick, he never gets sick. 3 days later, another person hops on the boat, grabs that same fishing rod, you know, licks his fingers, undoes a fish, you know, licks his fingers to tie a knot, whatever the case may be. He never gets sick, but he goes home, kisses his wife, says, hey, we had a great trip. That infection that came from 3 days ago from somebody else that wasn't sick, never showed any signs, touching that fishing rod. This person touches that fishing rod. He never gets sick, never shows any signs, passes that virus on to his wife. Maybe she has asthma or diabetes. And literally in, you know, 6, 7, 8 days, she's infected and maybe even dead. When I had people who this is what they do for a living tell me that that is a real case scenario, it was very easy for me to cancel. You know, my first responsibility as a captain is the safety of my crew. That is number one. Everything else is irrelevant. That's number one. And when I heard that, kind of thought about that, and really didn't feel like I could guarantee the safety of my crew, that I couldn't guarantee that I would get everything clean enough to guarantee that someone wouldn't get this. We made a decision. I sat down with my wife, and we made a personal decision to cancel. We made a decision Sunday night. We posted Monday, and the order came out, I think, either late Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning that charters were done. So, you know, we were ahead of the curve with information we had. I just want to pass it on to guys who think that, you know, I'm out with my buddies, I'm out. You know, this is a nasty little bugger, and you may carry it and never, ever get sick, and you pass it on. And, you know, traditional common cold or the flu goes about three people. And I hate that I know all this, right? It makes me mad that I've had to study all this. But common cold and the normal flu goes about three people deep. So you can kind of, you know, you give it to somebody that kind of travels one or two, three people deep. This bugger can go 10 or 12 people deep. So you may be infected, not be sick, never show any signs, put the virus out there, and it can be somebody 12 people down the line that catches the virus through transmission through other people from you. So it's a nasty little bugger, and we decided it's just best to hunker down and stay safe.
Captain Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing here on the show on Wild Michigan with us. Lance, you know, that that pretty much speaks volumes to not only you personally. I mean, look, this is affecting everybody financially, physically, mentally, emotionally. However you want to look at it, this is not just a China problem. This has become a global problem. And you know, you listening to somebody who knows more about this than you do, more, you know, admittedly, is what we have been doing since show one, you know, is bringing on the people that know firsthand. And since you are a charter boat captain, you're one of the guys we talk to and have a really good rapport with on a regular basis, you've made this decision and you are putting it forward. And again, I'm not... I get wanting to be out, especially right now when when I know things are as hot as they could possibly be. Okay,
yep, exactly.
I'm not trying to to lead people out to the water. I'm not saying just go. You're on the water. It's fine. No, that's not the case here. I mean, look, I know how bad I want to get out. I know how bad everybody else wants to get out. My decision is to stay inside and stay at least within the confines of my area.
Yeah, and I don't want to say too much, but, you know, I figure, you know, a normal day on the Detroit River is about $800 in my pocket after expenses. So, you know, I just canceled 14 of those days. I didn't take it lightly. You know, it's a big, you know, this is what I do for a living. I don't have another job and go charter fishing for a couple weeks to make money to pay for my, you know, boat payment.
We're going to talk more with Captain Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Look them up online. Their Wednesday night auction still going on, notjustguns.com. And we are speaking to Captain Lance Valentine from teachinfishing.com here on the Conquest Sense hotline here for this weekend, the COVID-19 show, at least one of one of a few that we're going to be doing. And when we look back on this, Lance, we briefly talked about this, about how instead of this being an enormous pain in the ass, is which I'm going to say, I mean, look, so far I've got my health. I'm very happy about that. Yep. So, I mean, when this whole thing first started coming about, you know, we see the hoarding and the mass hysteria and whatnot. And those, self included, sitting back watching all this happen, I'm kind of looking at it as, you know what? I've got this chance to reset myself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're looking at it this way. I'm looking at it this way. And us three, it's fun. I'm not going to say who was here completely in on that. I'm just going to say there are three guys in on this conversation that have wives that all of a sudden have grand ideas of things that'll be done in the next 3 weeks. And believe me, I love my wife dearly. I love Sarah with all my heart. But man, she's got ideas. And I'm like, yeah. whoa. I'm the work at home guy. for the most part.
You know, we lost the Grand Rapids show and not only lost that, attendance at Outdoorama was down. This is when the whole thing kind of started. You know, we lost Grand Rapids. I lost, you know, three big seminar events that I do and then get paid very well to do. And, it's kind of, you know, and the rush of, you know, trying to get charter, you know, getting, not having those shows and then the rush of charter season and kind of that dying. It's been a time to kind of, you know, I made a post today on my personal Facebook page. I'm doing a control alt delete on my whole life. Right. And, I'm going to do a disc cleanup on everything and kind of reevaluate my life and my work and my relationships. And, a lot of things that I put off, say I don't have the time. Well, there's no excuse now. So I think it's time for a lot of us to think, you know, I really should do that, be it whatever it is, right? That should be important in your life, but I don't have the time. Well, now we have the time. So now we need to look back and say, okay, is that thing really that important, or are we trying to make excuses? And I think just kind of stepping back and going, okay, what was me? I went through that the other day. Okay, now let's just move on. I've got this little gift of 2 weeks of really nothing to do but what I want to do. Obviously, there's work things to do and paperwork, and that still kind of trucks along. But I have this 2 weeks, you know, locked up with my wife to really reevaluate what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, things I want to do, you know, future, you know, I'm mid-50s, so, you know, obviously you start looking towards the future. So I'm using this as a positive way to just kind of reboot my life, reevaluate everything I'm doing and just kind of look forward and just kind of figure out what does make me happy, what is important in my life, where do I need to focus my time, and what things that I don't have right now that I were always time wasters or time takers or stress makers. Those things have been gone, so I really don't miss them. Sure. So I think it's a good time. If you put a good positive spin on it, I think it's a good time to kind of reevaluate your life and come out of this a lot happier, a lot healthier, and with a lot better direction on what you're actually going to do with your life.
You know what? I agree with that. Speaking with Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin' here on Wild Michigan, got Lance via the Conquest Sense hotline here. I feel like I've been given, I mean, look, man, we've been inundated with stuff, depending on what you look at, you know, where your priorities lie or where, you know, what you view to be, you know, not even necessarily important, but a part of your life day to day or just throughout the course of your life, we've been inundated with a lot of stuff this year.
Yeah.
And I went into this year going, you know what? There is nothing going to get in my way after the year I had last year. There is nothing going to get in my way. And you know what? Look, whoever is throwing things at me almost faster than I can handle, but I'm remaining at that same positive mentality that it's not going to bother me. You know,
and you can't let it, right? I mean, you can't let it. So it's a good time, you know, again, to reevaluate. It's a good time to find some space, you know, look at, hey, I've got, say, one of the things on my list here for the first part of next week, I'm looking literally in my office and I have 13 crankbait boxes that are either B&B cases or special mate. I have another 21 Plano boxes that are full of crankbaits, and I have two cardboard boxes that probably weigh 15 pounds that are loaded with crankbaits that I've never taken out of the box. So one of my things I'm going to do next week is I'm going to spend some time getting my crankbait stuff figured out, because I've got stuff I've never opened, stuff I've never seen, stuff I never use, stuff that needs to be sorted. So, you know, I'm going to try to find one thing every day that I can do as a project that has to do with fishing. I'm going to try to do one thing a day that has to do with work. One thing a day that has to do with taking care of or fixing something or making something better in the house. I'm going to try to find one thing a day for four or five different parts of my life and just concentrate on that, get it done, and move on to the next thing. And just, I think having a plan, you know, I got up this morning, we did, for the first time ever, we did Teaching Fishing Coffee Hour.
Sure.
I got up. We're going to do it again tomorrow at 7 a.m. live on our Teaching Fishing Facebook page. We just got together with a bunch of guys. We had about 65 guys on this morning for an hour. And we just talked about, you know what we talked about today? What do you do in the morning before you go fishing? Do you drink coffee? Do you have breakfast? What do you put in your coffee? Where do you like to get your coffee? What do you eat on the boat? We just sat around and talked. A bunch of guys would talk sitting at the coffee shop. And it was cathartic for me. It was fun to talk to the guys. So we're going to do it again tomorrow at 7 a.m. We'd love, you know, anybody wants to join us, feel free. It's live on our Teaching Fishing Facebook page. We're just going to get together for an hour tomorrow. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but it's nice to share with other people. You know, misery loves company. Right. And I think if we can just take an hour in the morning to kind of get started, talk about something we love with people that we know, and just enjoy a good time for an hour in the morning with a cup of coffee, I think that's a good start. So that's kind of, I've kind of laid some groundwork in place to kind of get through this and not go crazy.
Well, you know, I can't imagine where we would be 15 years ago without the cell phone technology, without Facebook, without social media, things of that nature connecting us. Yes, it's caused a lot of drama for a lot of people, you know, that have allowed that to happen. Yeah, not saying it's me. But you know, to have these things, to have these outlets, you know, we still don't have the flying cars we were promised in the Jetsons, but we've got the Visiphone, okay? We've got those little things that we never thought we would need or want, but now that we have them, it's priceless. My daughter's going to turn 21 on April 4th. Do you think I'm going to be able to spend that day with her? Probably not.
Not.
You know, but now I have this way that I can see and talk to her and everything else. So we're very happy about that. But Lance Valentine, we appreciate the stance that you're taking and all the other charter boat captains are taking. We know how difficult this is for you guys. So thanks again, man. TeachinFishing.com. Find them on the Facebook as well. Lance, appreciate your time as always.
All right, buddy. Hang in there. Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too, man. We're going to talk with the American archer, Tom Nelson, about tuning up during the downtime here on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you in part by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, our friends at Not Just Guns, and of course, Conquest Sense. Three great companies, all Michigan-based. Not just guns, of course, taking some time off with the COVID-19 coronavirus going on. Still doing online auctions and online auction pickups by appointment only. Find them online at notjustguns.com. And, of course, our newest sponsor and friends of the show, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. You can find see their video, see what they're up to with CWD research at thetruthaboutcwd.com. We'll have all those links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. But via the Conquest Sense hotline, my good friend and host of the American Archer, Tom Nelson, joins us right now from a remote location somewhere in the deep woods of Michigan. Tom is joining us. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Durant. I've just hunkered down like many others.
You know, and that's just it, too. We're doing our part. We talked to Lance Valentine as all charter boat captains are off until, late April. They're saying don't even bother to try and get your charter boat captain to take you out. One has already been fined, ticketed and fined for taking people out. There's so much that, you know, we don't know about this virus and what can happen and how it can be transmitted and how it can be transmitted through charter boats, man. It's just amazing how even though we're outdoors, we can still, through contact from other people, obtain this virus. But you know, there is some positive things going on. We're able to work at home, which gives us, for a lot of us anyway, kind of a much-needed reset button and an opportunity to maybe, if we have the ability to get out and maybe tune ourselves up mentally and with our bow, with our archery equipment.
Yeah, no question, Durant. I tend to agree with you 100%. And I've accomplished many, many things here just in the last 10 days that, you know, perhaps I wouldn't have gotten to till midsummer or even early fall let me just use this as an example. As we're speaking and I'm sitting at my workbench, I have my boning fletching jig sitting out in front of me, and I was just stripping down some old arrows and refletching them here, something to, you know, keep my idle hands busy, and it's a project that needed to be done. So things like this, you know, that normally I'd have to, you know, really be nudged hard to take the time to do this, or I would procrastinate and put it off for another month. Right. But I'm getting that done, so it's all good.
Now, I mean, this is just one of the things. You can go through your equipment, look at it. I mean, look at your limbs, you know, kind of make sure your limbs are in good shape after sitting over the course of the winter break. Maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know if everybody stores their stuff inside. Some people may store it out in the barn or whatever. But just sitting there, Tom, what are some of the things that could possibly go wrong?
You know, that's some very good points there, Durant. And I've always recommended to archers and bow hunters, you know, especially after your bow's been laid up over the winter, if you're one of the many that, when bow season ends, you stow it away until weather cooperates and you can get back outside and start shooting again. But, you know, In this downtime, especially like right now, this is a great time. Pull that bow out, blow the dust off it, and take a look at it. Take a look at your string and your cables and see what kind of shape they're in. I mean, changing items such as that, it's just like doing an oil change on your truck, you know, just replacing that if need be. But just go over your bow, look at it, and see what kind of shape. Hey, does my string need a wax job? Should I grab that tube of boning wax and wax up the bowstring? You know, what are the limbs like? You know, is your bow muddy and maybe even have a little rust on it from bow season where it got wet and you put it away damp? Just take the bow out and wipe it down. Go over it. Look at your string. Look at your cables. See if there's any little frays that need replacing. I mean, that's just playing it safe, because that's things that need to be done, and there's no better time to do some of that sort of work than right now.
And you know what? Maybe check that sight to see if it's tightened. That may be the reason you missed that bear at 6 yards with 3 arrows. I'm not saying from personal experience, Tom. Maybe I am. But, seriously, there are little things that come season you're going to want to look at instead of like September 29th or 30th, you know, that day before bow season, like gun hunters. Look, we're all guilty of this. I honestly think bow hunters are not as guilty because we have the opportunity to shoot 3D throughout the course of the year, or target practice in the backyard or whatever. But, you know, and with this weather, this warm weather that we're going to have and some downtime, it's going to be a great time to get out and shoot your bow
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, get out, throw that target out in the backyard and do some shooting. And, I mean, it'll occupy your time. And it's good, you know, get those muscles, bring that memory back as far as what muscles are needed to draw that bow. And I guarantee you, the more you practice, I don't care what people say, you know, sure, in this world of, nice bow sights and peep sights and such, and range finders, there's still no substitute for practice, you know, getting out there and practicing on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer, joins us here talking about a downtime tune-up is since we're many of us are not deemed as the necessary employees. I don't know. It's kind of a harsh term when you really think about it. I mean, we're all necessary when it comes down to it, one way or another. But as far as being in the public, interacting with the public, not all of us are that way, and we can still work at home. Even when it comes to what you do, Tom, with production and things of that nature, and this could be a time, too, to maybe learn a new skill at home with your equipment that you already have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like learning how to refletch arrows, send away for, a fletching tool or something. Just learning little things like that or wood carving, for example, anything. There's plenty to keep you occupied if you set your mind to it.
It is, especially during these uncertain times. And believe me, if you're like myself or anybody else I've talked to, your wife has a list for you to do. unfortunately for you, Beth, is about the bow hunting as well. So you're lucky in that respect.
Yeah, we spent more time shed hunting this spring than we ever have. So this because we have the time to do it, and we're away from everybody, and it's time outdoors.
It is, and again, it's away from people time outdoors too. As we mentioned, a lot of people out fishing right now on the Detroit River. Look, I love fishing, and it's got to be so hard to be away from that body of water right now, knowing what's going on underneath it with the just a huge walleye run right now. But also take into consideration, it's like you're going out on a half of inch of ice, that first ice we all love so much. It's not terribly safe. As much as you think you're outdoors and you're not really in crowded confines, you are. There are a lot of things we don't know about this virus, and that's why we're trying to keep you entertained with things to do during this time. And Tom, you talked about fletching arrows. That's something I've never done, and that's something that, I mean, you know what? It's not so much the huge savings as it is, again, what we talked about, another skill.
Yeah, Duran, it's definitely your comment about, it's not a huge savings. That's true, but it's just like tying your own flies or making your own fishing poles and fly rods and such. It's that the fact that you have built it, done it yourself. Like, I fletch my own arrows, and I get great satisfaction out of knowing that, these arrows I'm shooting, or this buck or bull that I harvested, I shot with an arrow that I fletched myself, that I crafted and such. It just, again, it's something that I like to do. I take great pride in and learn. Many, many years ago, probably 30, 40 years, I've been fletching my own arrows, but it's a great craft to learn. And it's, again, like I said, a lot of self-satisfaction in it.
Tom Nelson, our guest here, host of the American Archer. Tom, we're going to catch up with you here in a couple seconds. Stick around. And I got to tell you also, too, it's a hell of a lot easier than fly tying. Something I also don't do. But we're going to talk more with Tom here in a couple of minutes. Appreciate you joining us all over the world and on our website via the podcast, wildmichiganradio.com.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you in part by our friends at Conquest Sense out of Davidson, Michigan. Speaking with Tom Nelson, the American Archer, host of the television show for decades now, because you're like into 20, 25 almost?
Yep, 23 years.
23?
So far, yeah.
That's awesome. And of course, the longest running show on the Outdoor Channel, and very happy to have you here. A Michigan guy right out of Grand Ledge. And Tom, real quickly, we talked about fletching arrows, but it seems because, I mean, look, we're buying things with these blazer vanes now. So a lot of people are going back to traditional archery. We've seen this influx since the crossbow come out, that people are kind of taking that step backwards, going back to the longbow, going back to recurves. And you can still build, I mean, you can literally build from shaft to completed arrow up from the ground up, your own, and talk about a pride. I mean, you don't have to build your own bow, but talk about pride in accomplishment when you harvest an animal, be it a turkey, a deer, or whatever, with something you built, especially of that nature.
Yeah, so true. You know, it's as I mentioned earlier, there's a great amount of satisfaction, self-satisfaction, when you look at an arrow you've crafted from scratch, and then, of course, taken a full circle and harvested a big game animal with it, or even a squirrel or something. It's just like, hey, you know, you look at it and go, I built that arrow from scratch. I took glued the feathers in place and cleaned the shaft and dipped them, you know, because I kind of go overboard and, you know, I like to put a dip and a crest on my arrows, my own little signature mark, you know, as far as to distinguish my arrows from others. And you don't have to go overboard like that, but I do, because I take, you know, real pride in my arrows. And boy, they look so nice when you're done. And it's a great, great thing to do in the winter, spring like this. Just good fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, you can, with that crest on there, you can make that signature your own. And that was something that was very identifiable, because I came across a box of arrows from Anderson Archery back in the day, and I showed them to you, and you go, oh, that's Larry Dyer's crest right there. I mean, that was like his hand signature, basically, on the arrows that he did.
That's so true, and many others. I mean, a lot of people have a certain thing that they do, or amount of stripes, or the color combos. And that kind of, again, is like their signature. Okay, that arrow is recognizable as so-and-so's because of the way it was put together. I had a couple arrows that I had been given that were quite old, and I was pretty sure they were handcrafted by Art Young from Pope and Young.
Wow.
Art Young, a true pioneer in the archery bow hunting industry. And I actually sent them off. Pictures, I should say. Mm-hmm. Emailed them to Joe St. Charles out in Washington State and had him look at him. He's an archery historian. And by looking at the crest and fletch, he emailed me back and he said, yes, without a doubt, those arrows were crafted by Art Young, you know, almost 100 years ago.
Holy smokes.
Pretty cool, you know.
It is. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, in the world, you know, since I'm in the world of collecting and buying and selling, especially in the world of the outdoors, what things can be worth. When you can look at a hand-carved spearfishing decoy or a duck decoy, it may look very primitive, but if a certain person had his hands on that, the value really goes through the roof.
Yes. Yeah, and the same goes for archery, old archery tackle, Duran. Same story. A lot of collectors out there, whether it's an old bow, an old arrow, an old broadhead, they have a lot of value to them, and especially stuff that was made, you know, wasn't mass-produced, that was made by individuals, just like we're talking, hold more value than mass-produced items.
Right. I know, so a lot of the Bear stuff, there's a lot of intricate details as to when things were produced by Bear, but like I have a bow that was made by Co Archery, right here in Michigan. I didn't know anything about it. I got it for a decent price, and it's, you know, caused me to do research on it and figure out that, yes, it was a Michigan bowyer, and he wasn't, he's rather sought after. Some of his stuff brings pretty good money.
Yep. The people, you know, there's quite a few collectors in the, you know, just like the fishing tackle collectors that, you know, are collecting old lures, as you mentioned, or duck decoys. And in the archery world here, lots of individuals have collections of archery memorabilia, and that, you know, you put a pretty hefty price tag on some items.
Yeah, even broadheads, too, just so you guys know, old broadheads. Alex found some in a box. Now I have to look at them. and try and buy them from him. But real quickly before we get through this, Tom, we can actually look forward to deer season, even though we got turkey season coming up, which is great for bow hunters. We can look forward to what some changes we need to make from the previous deer season from November, because we're still in that as we left it look, and some things we can change right now with this downtime.
Yeah, so true, and a good point to bring up. You know, everything right now looks just like it did last mid-November when you climbed out of that tree stand for the last time. The foliage is still down. The runways still show up well. Scrapes, rubs, still highly visible. And I had mentioned, you know, I've been out shed hunting quite a bit and doing quite well, finding some shed antlers, but also I use it as time scouting. Oh, I didn't know that rub was there, or an area you normally would never go in. I'm not afraid to go in this time of year. You know, I don't want to spook deer during preseason or season, but I'll go in there and venture in there now and do some scouting. Same can be said if there's a new place you want to hang a tree stand, perhaps a shooting lane. When you're in your tree stand last November, you're like, oh, that branch has to go. What a better time than right now to get out there and do those chores. Get that done now. You know, don't procrastinate and wait till fall or summer. Do it now. There's no mosquitoes. Everything looks just like it will come hunting season. Take the time now and get out there and do that sort of stuff. I mean, you're all by yourself, and what a better way to quarantine yourself or stay away from others? Get out in the woods.
Exactly. That to me, that's a necessary job right there, is to go out and check your tree stands and make sure that the new one you want to put up is ready. You know, we may sound like we're taking this lightly. We're not. But these are things you can do during this downtime to get yourself, you know, to stay healthy and get yourself away from people.
Absolutely, and again, like I said, no better place to be than outside, out in the woods, and it's good exercise, and talk about a brain cleansing, getting out there and getting out of the house and breathing fresh air and actually accomplishing things, getting things done that you need to have done, so. And you won't have to worry about them not being done when bow season rolls around.
Absolutely. Tom Nelson, our guest here on the on Wild Michigan on the Conquest Sense Hotline. We're being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, reminding you that the Wednesday night auctions are still going, and you can pick up what you've purchased by appointment only. They're being part of the solution and not the problem. They have closed their doors temporarily until we get to the word that things are in a better place than they are right now. And they've decided, you know, that, look, we're just going to take some time off. And also, it's a great time to go check out the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, our newest sponsor here on the show. And a big event they had here a couple of weeks ago at the Soaring Eagle Casino. And it was really, really interesting to see, man. I tell you, they're growing some big deer. And like we talked to Doug Roberts about, Tom, they're getting back to that that natural look, if you will.
Instead of the
freakish
Frankenstein type,
right? Yeah. They're really getting back to the natural, symmetrical look on deer that Doug's done for so many years, and it's really cool to learn about this industry. It's not what everybody thinks it is.
That's true too. You know, until you really see what's going on there. But you know, who can appreciate as a hunter? I should say, you can appreciate a big, typical, clean, giant 5x5 or something. Perhaps more so than a cactus-looking buck. At least I can, you know, to me, growing up in Michigan, that's what I like to see.
Yeah, me here, me as well. And it's just, I think, you know, once we get through this, once we get a few more people involved to see firsthand, you know, we're gonna open some eyes and see what the work that's being done by these folks as well. But Tom, you've been involved with Conquest, and you know how what an operation Doug's got going on, he and Karen, the tireless work that they do and everything else. But man, I tell you what, for the years that you've been on this show, we are going into what, 15 almost?
Yep.
We're going into our 15th season.
Crazy.
You remember we started this thing, it was like, I don't know how long this is going to last, Tom, but if you want to join us, that'd be great. And I can't believe, honestly, I can't believe that we've gone through this long.
you've done a great job and been a great host and fill the, you know, individuals such as myself, you know, the outdoorsmen and women with great facts and figures and information. That's to me, it's priceless to glean that. And we can tune in every week and hear it.
Well, man, and I appreciate your willingness and availability. Like everybody else on this show, you guys have all been fantastic, and I have learned more than I ever possibly could have without it. So thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for joining us here. Conquest Sense, Not Just Guns, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. All of the information and this show itself is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Be safe. Stay home. Maybe get the bow out and practice a little bit and get yourself ready. But keep those hands washed and take care of yourself. We'll see you all next week here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. We'll